This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We are told as kids, it's not polite to talk about religion, sex and politics at the dinner table. But at the open table, nothing is off limits.
Welcome to the open table. I'm hosting the open table tonight. My name's Craig Brown. I am joined after a week in the sin bin, a week penalty, a week suspension. Ethan Kyoto Hall, welcome back.
It's what you get for, you know, allegedly kicking the host on Radiothon.
And that's how you hurt your foot, wasn't it?
Solid as a rock, Craig. Oh. Solid as a rock.
The less we say about it, the better. And yes, it's good to have you here with us. We're going to be talking about, amongst a range of topics tonight, leather and community. So I reckon it'd be good if you texted us in any questions or even misconceptions you had about leather. You think that could get us in trouble. And speaking of leather, we have returning guest with us. And now, we've told him in the break, officially a friend of the show, mm-hmm. BB, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure, as we said. It's always good to have somebody on the show because we actually have a show. But the 2025 Laird Leatherman, so it's really good to have you here. Of course, the Open Table is coming to you from the lands of the traditional custodians, the Kulin Nations here in St Kilda. So we want to pay our respects to their elders, past, present and emerging, and to our rainbow mob. So, and given that it's National Reconciliation Week this week, that is an important thing not to just gloss over that. That is not just something we do at the start of the show to be tokenistic or anything like that. It is actually because this land was never ceded and we need to come up with a treaty in this country, just to be really controversial right off the get-go. But everybody else has a treaty around the world.
100% agree.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. In New Zealand. They've got the Treaty of Waitangi, which has lasted, you know, since 1841 or something. So just to refresh our audience, because our podcaster Michael is still in Bali, so you haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast. But if you do want to listen to the podcast, of course, you can go to find the app, the Open Table on Apple or Spotify, or even find it on Joy's own website. And you can go to joy.org.au/theopentable. People coming into the show from last week or starting off this week, let's just quickly go through. BB, what is it that, what do you do as a profession?
I work in mental health. I'm a project manager.
Yep.
Work in mental health. But like you said, I'm the current Laird Leatherman title holder. And I do a lot of volunteering around that as well.
Yeah. And we're going to touch on the volunteering in a big way tonight. Your cultural religious background?
I'm Sri Lankan and Australian now.
Yep.
I was in Sri Lanka for 30 years and then 30-something years and then moved to Australia. I grew up as a Buddhist.
But you were saying last week, not practicing.
I do not. I believe, again, everything I do is based on the values I grew up with.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Mm. But I'm not a religious person, but I believe that I'm a spiritual person.
Yeah, yeah. And some of those values, would they be things like inclusiveness, tolerance?
Yeah, and also be more aware, self-aware.
Yeah.
And be kind.
Mm.
And also believe in karma.
Yeah.
You know, do good deeds and you get good deeds.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that I think. Also, think of your mind. You can focus on your mind and meditation and, you know, change your mind and change actions after that. So things like that.
Yeah. So slowing things down a bit and
it took like 40 years to learn that, but yes.
Well, you know, we're all a work in progress.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. And where do you identify on the queer spectrum?
Queer, gay, use that interchangeably.
Yeah. So last week we were talking about the fact that you came from Sri Lanka, you ended up in Darwin and then in Melbourne. So we sometimes gloss over that must be pretty difficult to go from one country to another and go to Darwin, which, and I think we said last week, to Melbourne, which is almost the
like another
absolute
country
opposite. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, BB, you were active in volunteering in Sri Lanka.
Yes, I did. for so many years. I think I find volunteering is the easiest way to meet people.
Yeah.
And also it gives me a purpose as well to socialize.
Yeah.
I had a lot of social anxiety otherwise. When you give me a responsibility, you will see me in a very different way than me just going to a party or going to a place where there's like, you know, 20 people that I don't know. I think I was doing that since, I don't know, 18, 19, 20, you know, slowly started. And then when I was in my uni, I started volunteering with one of the youth organizations, international youth organizations called ISEC. We did a lot of youth development programs, exchange programs, and then ventured into different areas as well. And I also volunteered as a HIV and AIDS awareness trainer for years.
Okay.
I was working and then volunteering as well, going through the country, go to different communities and workplaces to create awareness. I think it was important at that time. I'm talking about, like, you know, in early 2010s. Yeah.
So HIV, the AIDS epidemic, has sort of peaked by then. But what was the awareness like in Sri Lanka? Well, about safe sex, about preventative measures.
Yeah, in general, because there was a lot of organizations, there were a lot of organizations who are working on that. It was happening, and then a lot of organizations are creating awareness programs for employees. So I was a part of that program within the group of companies that I was working in. And then we reached out to communities as well. So the thing is, it wasn't main subject that people are comfortable to talk about. Sex is not something we talk about at home ever.
Yeah.
I've never had a conversation with anyone within my extended family or my family about sex.
So not even, without getting into it too much, but not even the birds and the bees conversation.
I have no idea what is that.
Well, how babies are made.
Nope.
For some reason, we call it the birds and the bees conversation. I actually don't know why.
We had again, school, you had a sex education. Oh, yeah. So, okay. You know, whatever the formal way of learning, but you don't have a conversation around it.
No.
Never.
It's so good to learn that in a group of 12-year-old boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sort of
so thing. Then I'm talking about, like, you know, I'm in my 20s and we are talking to people who are working in their 20s or 30s or, like, you know, anyone. We don't talk about it.
Mm.
And if you talk about it, then people just look at you differently.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get into that up because I was comfortable talking about it and that really helped me. So I was with a group of people and we did a lot of work around creating awareness. I also did youth development programs, group of friends. We got together and created workshops and conferences and, like, development, leadership development programs for undergraduates of local universities. So there was a lot of stuff I did back there. And then when I went to Darwin, I volunteered with the Northern Territory AIDS and Hepatitis Counties Council as well.
And you were saying before that volunteering is a great way to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a recommendation that you had to people who are sort of not feeling part of a community?
I do that. I'm very vocal about it. To everyone who moves to this country or, like, you know, my friends I'm talking. And even, like, you know, it's a great way to expand your skills.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of ways of doing there's a lot of organizations who are looking for volunteers. And there are a lot of skills in demand as well. It could be a one-off thing. Like, I volunteered with Mardi Gras marshalling. So Ooh. That's, like, something totally different.
Yeah.
And then I volunteered in boards or in advisory committees, and that's a different skill. So there's, like, you know, 100 different things that you can do. I think that's another way of looking at getting experience for work-like experience well, and that can help you for any work. And I also believe that's a way to connect with people because you're giving your time and then it's meaningful, and that brings conversations, that creates more connections with people. And it's, I think, a meaningful way of connecting with others as well.
Yeah, and I guess the assumption is that if you start volunteering for an organization, that the other people there have something in common with you to start off with.
Yeah.
You've got a talking point.
Yeah, exactly. And also, if you move to a new place And if you don't have work or if you're looking for a job, this is something that you can start doing to sort of get to that level. When I moved to Australia, I was doing a very good job. I was at in an organization doing a certain level of job. But then when I moved here, I could not get into a job at the similar level, you know, within my first year. So doing everything else really helped me to build skills and also to sort of fill the gaps in my timeline where I did not have a similar level job to add more skills to myself. And that really helped me with the next job I took. And then I had a better opportunity after that, you know. So it just grew one step after the other. And I really hope, I really believe I have to thank all my volunteering work for everything I've gained as well.
Yeah. We were talking, I think, a few weeks ago, and you were saying that it looks pretty easy from the outside, that if somebody went to the Laird, for instance, and saw you, you know, the bell of the ball and that sort of thing, everybody knows your name and that sort of thing. But what were the obstacles you had to overcome in order to find your community?
I think the social anxiety or being in a place where you don't know many people or going to a place where you don't know many people was the biggest challenge at that time. Mm. And that happens, it doesn't matter what age you are, where you are. If you are in a place that you are not familiar with, you have that nervousness and anxiety. Yeah. There's a lot of people who are comfortable with that. But I think, like, personally, I do have a lot of issues around it. But what I did was, I felt like I had no other option than doing this.
I think
that was a good way of thinking at that time. I thought, I need to go out and talk to people. Mm. Otherwise, I will never meet anyone. And
absolutely.
I will never make friends.
Yeah.
So there was no other option. I had to do that. And I'm so glad I did it. And then slowly it grew. And when I go to certain places, I know people now and people find me very confident, or people think that I know everyone, or, you know, I don't know everyone, but, you know, at least, you know, I talk to people. But it wasn't like that years ago.
No, because you've got to start from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've also heard from a lot of the people that I recently have conversations with that they feel sort of intimidated in certain places because, like, you know, it's cliquey or this or that. And they just sort of, like, you know, don't come back the next time.
Yeah.
What I did was I showed up the next time.
The next
even
time.
Though I didn't have a experience the first time.
Yeah.
I think that's the mantra for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keep doing it and then, you know, fake it until you make it.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
Yeah.
You're talking about the fact that you felt that if you didn't go out, you were just never going to meet anyone. But I reckon that is a really common experience because I know when I first came out and I met somebody kind of quickly, and it was during lockdown, so not a lot of places were open, and he wasn't really into what we would call the scene because he'd been through it all. Whereas I wanted to go out. I wanted to see the scene. And then after we broke up, and it was like, I think I had 3 months of mourning. And then I caught myself on a Saturday night just going, Craig, if you don't get up and go out somewhere, you're never going to meet people.
Yeah.
You're just going to sit here doing this for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And it's really great to hear somebody else say that because I think it's just that guts to put yourself out there, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. I think also we need to normalize that anxiety and the nervousness that we feel around going out when you don't know many people or when we have a bad time.
Mm.
We don't talk about it much, or at least like there weren't any people who were really talking to me about it. I'm so glad that I met people in Melbourne and even Darwin who really pushed me to get there. And I really needed some push at that time to just get me out of the home.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think exactly. I'm glad that I did it. And I basically tell everyone that, you know, even if you sometimes don't feel like doing it,
just
push yourself and do it. Because what's the worst which can happen? You would not enjoy it. You would turn back and go home. Mm. there's nothing else can happen. And also, I think one of the other things I learned is I would have very low expectations when I do something like that. For example, if I go out for anything, I would have very minimum expectations. And then 90% of the time, I have the best time.
That's right. Because your expectations, you set them low.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is like I remember that first night that I went out, I went to the Peel.
Yeah.
Right. But I went there at like 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, big mistake. Because I got in there, I think there were three other people.
Yeah.
And the staff.
No one goes there.
No one goes to the Peel at that time. Nope. It was just like, oh, yeah, I'm here too early. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a drink.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to treat this as reconnaissance.
Yeah.
I'm going to treat this as though, okay, I now know what this place is like. I don't know what it's like with people in it.
Yeah.
But I know what it's like empty.
I can think of so many instances where I did not want to go for dinners or go out, and then went to Laird, went to Peel at 3 a.m. Yes. And had the best time of my life.
Yes.
And then still, like, you know, had the energy to wake up next day and do something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Do it. Get do out it there. Somehow. Push yourself and do it. I think that's the thing. I mean, there are situations where you can't do it. Mm. I understand that. Yeah, like, you know, it's really hard to be around people. There were moments that I really wanted more intimate one-to-one connections, and I've done it. So it's not that I would push myself to a level where I do not enjoy myself. That's what I said. The worst thing can happen is to turn back and, you know, go home. But the general nervousness and the anxiety in a normal day that we feel, I think we need to normalize it.
Yeah, because even confident-looking people are experiencing that kind of nervousness or low-level anxiety, or sometimes high-level anxiety about being in these situations. But they push through.
Yeah, yeah. I think being open about it and sort of talking about it helps as well, especially for me. There was a time that I tried to hide my nervousness or the anxiety because I thought I'm the only one who feels like that. No one else feel it. But now if I feel nervous or anxious, I just tell someone, could you be around because I feel anxious. And that really helped. Or if I don't want to have a conversation, so I'm like, oh, maybe, you know, I just need to do something else. And then, you know, step out and then have a break and then come in.
Yeah.
So be...
The whole kiss me, we'll talk later.
Yeah.
Approach. So speaking of communities, like, so you're the Laird Leather Man. All right. What drew you to leather?
Well, I didn't have any exposure growing up in Sri Lanka.
Okay,
I did not know whether I like it or not. As in to, I didn't have a concept of being a leather person or anything.
Yeah.
I knew that I was turned on when I look at pictures of people in leather and this and that. That's it.
Yeah.
So I always liked and associated with that, but I did not think that I would be wearing leather or anything. So then slowly I got introduced by people I met and when I was traveling into different places or then in Australia. But then again, Sri Lanka isn't a place, the weather isn't the best for leather anyway, so you don't...
You're doing a lot of sweat, I imagine.
Yeah, so it's a tropical place, so not the best place. And then the Darwin wasn't the best place as well. But being in Darwin and then connecting with people all over the country who are into this made me sort of more grew into the community. But I think what made a difference was that I knew that I have a certain interest in that. And then I wanted to wear, I wanted to talk to people about it. What changed was that the people I met through this, I met the most amazing people all over the country. And I was this shy new person years ago when I went to an event in Sydney and, you know, other places. And then there were a lot of people who welcomed me and they were super nice to me and made it a comfortable place for me. And that sort of changed everything for me.
Did that go against your initial, I don't know how you viewed that, you know, often people think of a community that has a niche or a fetish element to it as being closed. Whereas from what you're saying, the leather community that you experienced mm-hmm. was open and welcoming.
Yeah. I think not having any predetermined thoughts in my head or any perception really helped me.
Yeah.
I did not know how the community was because I did not have exposure. So I didn't know whether it's open or closed. I didn't know whether people are clicky or not. I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I just tried to connect with people and it worked for me.
Yeah.
So most of the time, I think it's in any community and any place, when you go and talk to people, you will like some people and you will not like some people, right? Yeah. So then if someone doesn't like me or if they don't connect with me, I won't take it too personally as well because I won't connect with everyone.
Can't be everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah, I'm not... I always say, like, I'm not an ice cream, so even though I can't eat ice cream, but yeah, I'm not an ice cream, so not everyone's gonna like me. I think like is a different word, but like I can't connect with everyone, I don't expect everyone to connect with me. But then the people you connect with makes the difference, and so I did not have any predetermined conceptions around any communities.
Yeah.
And yeah, that really helped.
Yeah. And certainly like in Western culture for a while, leather was a bit of a caricature. You know, it was mm-hmm. a bit of a butt of jokes as well in comedy movies and shows. You know, you'd have these big butch guys wearing leather.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any misconceptions? You were saying you didn't go in with any...
Yeah.
But are there misconceptions out there about leather?
This thing you're talking about, I did not know.
Yeah.
The exposure the things I've seen back in Sri Lanka in terms of leather, especially like thanks to internet, was more sexy.
Yeah.
Tom of Finland and, you know, people into BDSM or, you know, so it really was a good thing for me. And I did not know.
You're just going in blind. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. And that really helps. So anything like things I've heard or seen after, like, you know, a few years or whatever, after I first sort of built the interest, it didn't matter because my first exposure, the feelings I had around, like, you know, seeing people in the pictures and the videos was more sexy and nice.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I aspirational, not anything funny or anything else.
Yeah.
So that was good. And even though, you know, if someone says something or even if I see something, it doesn't matter anymore.
So you're saying not having any preconceptions about leather.
Yeah.
Was it just this wonderful rolling exploration of what it could be for you as you just sort of discovered more about yourself and more about that community?
Yeah, I think most of the things were new to me,
as
in like being openly queer in a country or, you know, going to work and just living my life.
Yeah.
So I think when you sort of accept that and again, context is that, you know, that was the stigma that I had to overcome with. That was sort of a self-acceptance journey that, like, you know, took years and years to sort of come to terms with, like, you know, who I am and, you know, what I like. Once you pass that hurdle, I think everything is easier. Joy and fun.
Yeah, it's easier, isn't it?
Yeah. And that is sort of like, you know, even though we talked about, like, you know, that I didn't have like a proper coming out process, like, you know, the self-acceptance and if you call it a coming out, the whole self-acceptance or a coming out, I think if you do that as a queer person, when you sort of live with, when you live your whole life with that stigma and sort of accept yourself and overcome that, I think everything else is okay.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have to overcome some sort of stigma when you sort of might mention that, you know, you're the 2025 lead leather man?
At the moment, no. I'm so proud of all that. I think, again, I've come to terms with the fetishes and kinks and my interests, and I'm very comfortable talking about it. Again, I know what to talk and what not to talk and whom to talk and, you know.
Yeah.
I do really respect my privacy, and there's conversations I don't want to have. There are conversations I really want to have as well. So I know my boundaries there. But again, there was a time that I really had to think back and understand, why do I like certain things?
Yeah.
And what's, you know, the first thing was like, you know, what's wrong with me to sort of have certain interests? But that was a long time ago.
Mm.
And then I had a lot of work. I went through a lot of things and accepted myself. And I can't be happier how I feel around all that.
It is a real joy, isn't it, when you accept who you are?
Yeah, yeah. And then
it's nothing underrated.
Else matters, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Because I think for every conversation, there's a place and time.
Mm.
So I believe, like I said, you know, I know whom to talk, whom not to talk, but then to wear my leather or wear and talk about things I like, I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
The personal space I keep for myself is because I'm an introvert and I do have certain boundaries when it comes to my personal space. And that would be there whether I like leather or any fetishes or kink or not. Even if I...
But that's your space.
Yeah, exactly.
For you. Yeah.
So that is going to be there irrespective of things I like. But yeah, I am extremely comfortable with what I like and don't like.
Yeah.
And I think I'm open to things as well because of that.
Cool. You're a title holder.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said last week, not the first title holder that we've had on the show.
Yeah.
We've had Mr. Universe. Shout out to Johnny Berry there.
Mm-hmm.
What responsibilities come with the title?
I think the Laird Leatherman title is to represent Laird and the community within this year. And as a part of that, I'm raising funds throughout different activities at Laird for Switchboard Victoria.
Yep.
There are activities happening every month throughout this year. All those funds will go to Switchboard. That's part of that. And there's so many other events and activities I'm a part of as well. Most of the things happening at Laird, I participate or support. I do have another community project that I'm working on, which I will be launching very soon. Again, that's to talk about our experiences within the community.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things happening at, around the title. I think for me, the most important thing is that to create more visibility for different groups within fetish and kink communities, because me being a person of color, winning a title, I think I feel more responsibility around it. And from the responses I receive and everywhere I go, people reach out to me and talk to me, then the messages I get, I can see after now a few months how that is creating an impact. Even in a smaller community like, you know, Melbourne, compared to where I grew up or lived, where you don't have exposure like this. And even like a month ago when I was in Sri Lanka, I went to Sri Lanka for 2 weeks. The amount of messages people started sending me, you know, because they see me online. I think the impact is not just like in Melbourne.
No.
It just, you know, everywhere.
Well, that's the global reach now because we have, you know, for good and for bad, social media.
Yeah. That's why I think that visibility, creating that visibility and conversations around that is more important. It's very important to me, as you know, well as joining events and going to parties and events, you know, that's important. But also, like, there's more things around that that I can add value as well. And I'm very proud to do all these things. And I think this is a very great experience for me and an opportunity for me, because I never thought that I would be in a place like this or have an experience like this.
Yeah.
So if you ask me like 5 years or 10 years ago, this was never in my radar.
Mm. Isn't life good like that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so because of that, I'm very grateful and I'm very humble about it as well. And also because of that, I think it gives me more hope about everything. You know, things could look bad at a certain point, but it doesn't mean the entire future is gonna be bad. Things can change. Yeah. So I feel like that. So I think the thing around Laird Leatherman title, I think other than what I'm trying to do, it gives me a lot back as well.
And for people out there who may not be aware of Switchboard, just quickly, what does Switchboard do?
Switchboard supports queer communities, and they have essential peer-led support services. One of the reasons I pick Switchboard is that they have a big volunteer base who support, and Switchboard is something that I've seen when I was new in Victoria as a service who can support me if I need something, and I have heard a lot about Switchboard in general as well. So with all that, I thought that would be a great way to give back to an organization who's giving back to the community and have volunteers as well. And again, I am with other organizations, and I do support and volunteer with so many other organizations as well. So I'm like,
Thorn Harbour being one of them.
And also I felt like I'm already doing certain things with the other organizations. I'm not volunteering with Switchboard, and Switchboard has a history with that as well. So, let me focus on Switchboard on this, because I have so much of time spending for other organizations I'm part of as well.
And we'll put a link up on the podcast to go back to Switchboard so people can find out about it.
Amazing.
Last question for your, as an introvert, I got to thank you for coming back. You know, I hope this wasn't one of those things where you go, oh, it was a bad experience first time, but I've got to go again. But looking back, what would you say to a young BB as he sort of contemplated his future back in Sri Lanka?
I've thought about it a lot, and I think I mentioned this earlier as well, so it sounds like I'm repeating, but the things might look so bad right now, but it doesn't mean that the entire future is going to be bad. Things can get better, so don't worry too much about what's happening right now. Just live the day as it is, and things going to get better. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that with this. BB, as I sort of said, as an introvert, great to have you come back, knowing full well that, you know, you're kind of in an introverted way, you know, being quite open and vulnerable. So thank you for coming on the show.
That's
really
years
appreciate
of practice,
it.
So thank you so much.
No, it's been a joy for us to have you on Joy. And we will definitely get you back when this little project of yours, little project, I'm sorry, that was patronizing. I caught myself saying it, when this project of yours gets off the ground. I'm going to read Jesus at the Gay Bar. We are going to be very traditional in the end of this show today, because I'm going to read it. I'm probably going to cry. So here it is, Jay Hume's wonderful poem, Jesus at the Gay Bar. He's here in the midst of it, right at the center of the dance floor. Robes hitched up to his knees to make it easy to spin. At some point in the evening, a boy will touch the hem of his robe and beg to be healed, beg to be anything other than this. And he will reach his arms out, sweat damp and weary from dance. He'll cup this boy's face in his hand and say, "My beautiful child, there is nothing in this heart of yours that ever needs to be healed." I just keep thinking that, you know, even when we don't talk about religion much in an episode, for anybody who's spiritual out there, this is just the message, whether it's Jesus or Buddha, whoever.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you don't need to be fixed because you're queer. You might need to be fixed because you have a terrible flaw, like me. But, you know, you don't need to be fixed because of who you are. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And it was amazing to share all these stories and experiences with you.
And I've loved the fact that, you know, we referenced it a little bit this week, but we talked about it a bit more last week. So when the podcast comes out, grab it. About the fact that you don't actually have to come out. You can just live an authentic life.
Yeah. I still believe that, and I still understand and support anyone who wants to go through that process as well, but also understand that, like, no, that not everyone has to go through that.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong with this.
Yeah.
It's what the situation is for you. We are going to be back next week with Lynn Uendo, the wonderful Dean Adams. If you've missed some of the previous episodes, you can listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, and please like and subscribe. Thanks for listening. and we'd love you to join us at the Open Table again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Open Table here on Joy. If you missed part of the conversation or want to catch more, find the podcast at joy.org.au/theopentable.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.